More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, hide and seek. Are you hiding your real thoughts or feelings to avoid upsetting someone or creating conflict? Let us help you find the courage to speak up gracefully. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, hide and seek. Are you hiding your real thoughts or feelings just to avoid upsetting someone or creating conflict? You know, is there somebody in your life who seems really committed to kind of shutting you down when you try to share your faith or your values or your opinions or your ideas or even your needs? You know, you get the eye roll, you get the huffing and puffing, you get the kind of dismissive, or defensiveness. It just kind of makes you feel like, why am I bothering?
That's no fun. Like, either just hush up and go away, too. There's that, why am I bothering? Because they're never going to listen to me. And then there's the, they're shutting me down and I feel less than. So even if I consider myself a strong person normally, when I'm with that person, I just feel suppressed, I feel less than, and it just diminishes me. And that is not what God wants for us.
No, He certainly doesn't. Obviously, He wants us to be generous to others and kind to others and charitable in everything that we do and say, but that doesn't mean we have to cease to exist or that we're not allowed to express our thoughts or feelings or needs or opinions. And in fact, we, as you'll discover throughout the show, need to speak the truth in love. Of course, we need to do it lovingly, but we do need to do it. That's a big part of our mission as Christians. And so let's talk about what that means to your relationships today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So do you find yourself biting your tongue just to keep the peace? You're hiding what you really think or feel because you already know how the other person is going to react because they've done it so many times. Maybe every time you bring up your faith or your values, someone you care about, as you were saying, Greg, rolls their eyes or makes you feel like you have done something wrong by even mentioning it. Well, maybe you've tried to tell someone what you need or, you know, what you want out of a relationship, and instead of hearing you, they act wounded or they accuse you of starting a fight, so you've just stopped even asking. Is there someone in your life who has trained you little by little to stop sharing your real opinions, beliefs, or needs because it's just easier to disappear? Let's help you find the courage to speak up gracefully, in a way that's effective and loving.
877-573-7825. We're going to help you stop stuffing everything and finding ways to speak your mind in ways that are charitable, in ways that other people will be willing to hear. So if you're tired of being shut down or shamed or made to feel like what you're saying is just wrong and shame on you for even breathing, we are here to help you communicate what needs to be said in ways that people are able to hear and that you can walk away feeling good about. 877-573-7825.
And perhaps it's somebody really close to you, whether it's a family member, your own spouse, your child who thinks completely different thoughts socially, faith-wise, value-wise, and that really hurts. But maybe it's even just people in the office, people at that drop-off or pickup line at school who, you know, look at you a little sideways because you have a different faith system or different political belief or just a different way you look at how to handle the situations that are going on in your mutual lives. It can pop up anywhere, and it can be very uncomfortable, very disheartening, and very disempowering. So let us help you get your power back today in a grace-filled, effective, and yes, even loving way. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology, the body. And in case you're wondering, you know, what could some theology possibly have to do with enabling us to, you know, speak our minds gracefully? Well, it turns out quite a lot. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked some huge questions. Basically, he wanted to know, what could Catholicism teach the world about how to thrive? How could we discover God's plan for truly celebrating joyful, fulfilling, loving relationships? And his answer to those questions became what people now refer to as the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that we were created to help each other be the whole, healed, godly people he created us to be. Of course, the world says the highest virtue is just being nice or tolerant and going along to get along. So when someone brushes us off or shuts us down when we're trying to bring up something that is important to us, whether we're talking about our values or our beliefs or our needs or even our feelings, we can feel like we've done something wrong or we should just stay muted.
Well, the thing is, although we're called to be charitable in everything we say and do, we're not called to stay quiet and avoid discussing things just because other people might not want to hear them. You know, in situations where people seem resistant to hearing what we're trying to say, the goal isn't asking how we can get through this without ruffling feathers. It's praying, Lord, help me say what you want me to say in ways that are charitable, loving, and effective.
Now, that doesn't mean that being abrasive or picking fights is okay. Being difficult for its own sake isn't a virtue either. The theology of the body reminds us that we're called to be loving and responsible, both at the same time. And when someone's trying to silence you or shame you for speaking up, learning to lovingly hold your ground and keep up the pressure without getting drawn into a fight is the key to respecting them while insisting that they respect you as a person, too.
So, you know, the next time you get some pushback, the eye roll, the here we go again, the guilt trip, you know, don't match their heat and don't back down. You know, stay warm, but stay put. You know, try saying, look, I can tell you're having a hard time hearing what I'm saying, but I still think it's worth talking about. Can you help me understand what's making this hard for you to hear? Because if you refuse to be shut down but engage that resistance with real curiosity and charity, you're modeling how to have a real heart discussion that can build communion through better communication.
And sometimes this can feel really difficult. If you were raised in a way that always shut you down when you had an opinion, maybe even a question, that was different from the family you lived with. If you feel like you haven't been successful before, or you're terrified to not represent Christ well in the situation, so when they look at you funny, they roll those eyes, they push back a little, you're thinking, I'm failing God, I can't do this, I don't want to do this, and you shut yourself down. All of those can feel difficult to overcome, but they're not as difficult as you would think, and you can still be a great representative of Christ and your very best self while you do it. Give us a call today to find out how at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Today's show titled Hide and Seek, and we're shouting out, come out wherever you are, because we are talking about how to stop hiding your thoughts, your feelings, your needs, your faith, just because other people get mad at you for expressing those things. How can we open up in ways that people are willing to hear? And even when they're not, how can we make sure that we've done what God's asking us to do in the way we've expressed ourselves. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you those people that are hard for us to talk to, that can be hard for us to be honest with, either because they react negatively when we try to share our faith or our values, or sometimes they get defensive or hostile when we try to communicate our needs or our feelings. Help us to know, first of all, Lord, what you want us to say and how you want us to say it. And help us to know that as long as we are doing our best to communicate our needs and our thoughts and our faith and values charitably, with a genuine eye toward working toward the other person's good and the good of our relationship, then we're doing your will. And even if they react poorly, we know that we can come away feeling pleased with the fact that we attempted to cooperate with your grace. But even in those times, help us to identify what the next step is to healing those relationships so that we can continue speaking the truth in love, but in ways that do bring healing to your broken body. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, hide and seek. And we're talking about those times when we tend to just hide our thoughts, our feelings. We don't say what we want to say or we feel called to say because we're afraid of the reaction we're going to get. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Alicia, who's listening in Massachusetts.
Alicia, welcome to the show. How can we help you out today?
Hi, it's good to hear your voices and talk to you. I'm a talker. I explode. And my husband is the one that shuts down.
I love that you had the courage to call in and ask this. Yeah.
It was sad. But anyway, my question is, how do we find a balance between him shutting down and me exploding? Because we've been married 27 years, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better in our communication.
Okay. No, well, thank you for the question, and that's a question that a lot of couples struggle with, and we'll give you some tips on how to address it and then also some resources for following up. So, first of all, what you're doing, okay, what you're describing, okay, is both actually the same thing. There's different manifestations of the same problem. So when we flood, okay, when we flood emotionally, when we get stressed out, our thinking brain literally shuts down, and our emotional brain, the limbic system, turns on. And that's usually because we feel threatened. We feel threatened that we're not going to get what we want or what we need, and so we get stressed, and the thinking brain shuts down, the emotional brain comes online, and at that point we do one of three things. They're all just reactions, though, and none of them work. Right? The first reaction is we shut down, we pout and withdraw, which is what your husband does. The second reaction is to tantrum. We get loud, we get mad, we get angry, we lash out. And the third reaction is we seem perfectly calm, but we just helpfully lecture the other person about why they're wrong and why they should sit there in their wrongness and be wrong, and if they want to solve the problem, they should just maybe stop being less wrong, right? So I look calm, I seem perfectly, you know, but I'm being this great contemptuous expert, right, in lecturing you.
All three of those are just your brain getting overheated and keeping you from being able to think logically and in a problem-solving way. So you just kind of do this thing that's going to make you feel safer, either by exploding on the person, lecturing the person, or even shutting down. It feels safer, but it's not safer, and it's certainly not effective for the relationship.
So the challenge you're going to have to face, okay, the thing you're going to have to learn that a lot of couples really struggle with is the most important thing in solving problems isn't actually solving the problem. What? No, the most important thing in solving problems is actually taking care of the person you're solving the problem with, so you come out of the other end of the problem closer than you went into it. So job number one is taking care of your husband and him taking care of you when you're facing a difficult topic. What does that look like? Well, it looks like things like, hey, listen, you know, I know that we're having a hard time figuring out how both of us can get what we want, but I want you to know
that what you want is important to me, as long as we can figure out how we can both get our needs met.
Yeah, or simply saying, you know, I know this is rough, but thank you for going through it with me. Thank you for being willing to do the hard work on this so we can have a better relationship.
Or hey, you know what? It's really kind of stressful. My mouth's getting dry. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go grab a drink. Can I get you something while I'm going? So we're taking care of each other.
Yeah, it's that, even that one is that little bid to say, I love you, I'm taking care of you, even though we're in the middle of a hard discussion or a problem to solve.
Or here's, you know, for bonus points, pray. Hey, Lord, you know, I know what I want, and she knows what she wants. Can you help us to know what you want and to help us take care of each other while we work together to figure out what that is?
Now, you can certainly pray by yourself in that moment in your head, but as you said, for bonus points and to really take care of each other, it's saying it out loud. Taking that risk, not using your prayer to lecture the other person, just asking.
Lord, please change my husband's heart.
Change my husband's heart.
Make him open to my epidemic.
Whatever those things are, like get him to, you know, see what really matters here. Any of those things, it's Lord. We want to be together. We want to have the relationship you want us to have. We want to take care of each other. Please come into this moment and help us and guide us through it.
So and for a Christian marriage, I mean, there's really no reason not to be praying about this stuff, because the whole point, right, isn't doing what we want. It's discerning what God is calling us to do. So I just really encourage you that. However you do it, though, the key here is getting off of how do I convince my spouse to give me what I want? Or how do I stop being afraid? How do I stop being afraid that I'm not going to get what I want? Yeah. And rather, how can we take care of each other while we figure this out, while we try to discern what God's calling us to do and what solution is going to really help us both get what we want. Now, you didn't ask this, but I am anticipating the problem because I've been down this road with a lot of couples before. Mm-hmm. As you're trying to take care of each other, you know, you run into the wall of, well, what if we both can't get what we want? Okay. So that's where you want to negotiate the how and the when, but not the what. What do I mean by that? We in arguments, we have a tendency to start with, we should do this, which is actually not what I want. It's the solution to what I want. It doesn't say, well, if we did that thing, how would you benefit? Because if we identify how I would benefit by doing that thing, then we can solve for other ways to get the thing.
Let me give you a totally easy kind of mm-hmm. inroad into this. So, you know, in your mind, the house is getting out of control. There are projects that need to get done. Instead of saying, sweetheart, we have all these projects that are kind of backing up. How can we do this and when so that it works for both of us? We're not saying that. We're saying we're taking Saturday. We are just tearing this house apart. We are organizing everything.
And then I'm
getting
it done.
I'm
not doing that on Saturday. That's the one day I have this week to relax. How dare you tell me
what
we're
gonna do?
We
already had plans. What do you mean? We're canceling this? I already paid for the tickets to the ball game. Because we've started with the solution that we think would work best in our own minds instead of the need.
Right. So we're arguing about the how and the when, not the what. So if Lisa were to come to me and say, hey, we need to take Saturday to get all this stuff done, I'd be like, well, what is it that you're wanting to do? Help me understand kind of what it,
right.
Well, what the what is, we need to get all this stuff done. Okay, can we talk about the how and the when, though, because we do have plans for Saturday, and it's important to me that you get what you need and that we get, you know, stuff done around the house, but let's come up with a plan that will work for both of us.
Right.
And now we're taking care of each other.
Yeah, we're taking care of each other. There's a dialogue, a solution-focused dialogue, rather than starting with a big brick wall of give up everything on Saturday and do what I tell you to do, which is a very parenting place to come from, and it's very, you know, insensitive to the other person's needs and wants.
So the overall point to take away here is you need to do more to take care of each other than solve the problem. So you come out the other end of the problem feeling closer than you did going into it. If that's your main focus, chances are pretty good you'll also solve the problem too. We also threw in some tips for how to solve the problem more effectively and efficiently. I'm going to encourage you, Alicia, to download the podcast for this episode, play the call for your husband, use it as a springboard for the conversation that you guys need to have about how to communicate better. To follow up, our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, has a chapter on caretaking and conflict that I think will be tremendously helpful for you, as well as the chapter on emotional regulation, which talks about those three different personas we were describing, the pouting, withdrawing, tantruming, and the contemptuous expert persona, and how to avoid those things. If you need more personalized support, once you've checked out those resources, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. This is the kind of thing we do for couples all day, and we're happy to help you and your husband get to a better place where you can really talk through things and feel taken care of in your arguments instead of like enemies. Thanks so much for the call. With that, we're taking your calls today on More to Life. The show is titled Hide and Seek, as we talk about the temptation we all have to just sort of shut down and not say stuff because of the reactions that people give us. So if there's somebody in your life who kind of shames you, shuts you down, rolls their eyes whenever you try to speak about anything, let's talk about how to manage them gracefully. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores-Popchak, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. We'll be sharing some insights on something we need to ask ourselves when we get into those difficult conversations. Stick around.
You like pizza?
Me too.
And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, hide and seek. We're talking about those times when we just kind of want to shut down and hide out and not share our thoughts, our feelings, our faith, our opinions because of the reaction that people give us. How do we stop getting shut down and be able to speak charitably in ways that people are willing to hear? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores-Popchak. He's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body and a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you were sharing over the break that there's a question that you ask your clients to help them navigate these situations where they are feeling a little shut down or afraid to speak up.
Yeah, I think you guys have been really speaking well to this subject today, such that honestly I wasn't sure there was much I had to add, right? You know, it absolutely vital that we be able to communicate over things respectfully, and if someone is shutting down to us, you know, it does often mean I got to take a step back and kind of recollect myself and re-reflect, and sometimes that means pursuing it again in a more respectful way. Sometimes that's going to mean shaking the dust from my sandals, as Christ says, and, you know, having to set some real boundaries and move on. But before we get to any of those more final decisions or those reapproaches of a topic, you're right. I do invite my clients to kind of take a minute to self-reflect about a particular question that I find adds a lot of unnecessary pressure to already difficult conversations. The question that I ask people to consider is this: is the conversation too pressured because I'm basing some aspect of my identity or my sense of safety in my ability to make this point rather than in God? I'll say it again. Is the conversation too pressured because I'm basing my identity or my safety in my ability to make this point rather than in God. There are lots of different versions of this, right? I'll talk to parents, for instance, all the time, who are trying to make some point to their teenager, to their adult kid, to whomever. And they're coming in so tense and intense to that conversation. And when I do a little bit digging with that parent, what I inevitably find, oftentimes, is that that parent is really struggling, as many parents do, with the belief that their goodness as a parent depends on their ability to give their kid good advice, right? That they have no strong sense of identity as a parent outside of their ability to give advice. Being a parent just means giving my kid advice. And so they're coming into this conversation too intense. Why? Because some part of their identity is riding on their ability to make this point, to prove their goodness as a parent. Or for another example, spouses. I'm trying to convince my spouse of this thing. You know, I'm trying to convince them to take me seriously to get this point, right? When we dig into that, what I often find is that there's some deeper wound of feeling like I won't be safe unless I can get this person to understand me, or I won't be loved unless I can get this person to understand me, or I'm not a smart, worthwhile person unless I can get my spouse to completely understand every iota of this problem as I see it, right? Many of these wounds kind of go back to our childhood. I'm not telling any listeners right now that they need to abandon those points that are important to them, right? The whole show today should really point you to the importance of standing up for those things that are most meaningful to your heart. But if there's any part of you feeling like your identity or your safety depends on being able to make this single isolated point, you need to return to how much God loves you and how much your identity is based in Him.
Amen. Jacob, thanks so much for that point of reflection. I think it's going to help a lot of folks really focus how they're approaching these issues. Of course, if you're wondering how to apply that in the particular conversation you're trying to have with that person who seems intent on shutting you down, give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Stick around.
What do we mean when we say the church is the body of Christ? From the very beginning, Jesus shared with his apostles his mission, his joys and sufferings, and the mystery of the kingdom. The Catholic Catechism points out that Jesus indicated the intimacy of his union with his followers when he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you." When Jesus' visible presence was taken away from the apostles, they were not orphaned. Jesus sent them his Spirit. As a result, says the Catechism, communion with Christ is even more intense. Jesus mystically constitutes as his body all those brethren called together from every nation. The church is not only gathered around Christ, she is united in him, in his body. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, "Now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies." And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died." Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we ask for. The challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Is there someone in your life you can't seem to win an argument with? Someone where you walk in with a clear point and somehow walk out apologizing, defending yourself, promising to do better, and you can't even retrace how it happened? If so, it's probably because you've accidentally let the other person frame the conversation in a way that had you in a losing position from the beginning. In my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, I explain that one of the most freeing things you can do is learn to refuse to play by the conversational rules someone else wrote and you never agreed with. Next time someone tries to helpfully explain why everything is all your fault, just calmly say, "You know, looking at things through your eyes, I can see why you'd feel the way you do. But I see things differently, and instead of arguing about who's right, let's focus on what we can do differently next time." Then, firmly but sensitively, hold the line. For more on dealing with the difficult people in your life, see God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Hide and Seek, as we talk about those times when we're reluctant or afraid even to share our thoughts, our faith, our opinions, our needs with other people because of the reaction we get from folks. How can we as Christians be charitable, be sensitive, be compassionate, but also not just roll over at the first sign of resistance? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Barbara, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Hi. Well, it's a little bit of a long story. My son moved in with me when his daughter was 2. She's 14 now.
Wow.
And he left just before her 3rd birthday and went to my sister's and came back just before her 4th birthday. I had to fly him back because he went off on my sister and my niece threw him out. And he raised.
So why is your son and granddaughter living with you? What's the situation there? Why aren't they out living?
Because he has nowhere else to live.
Why?
Is
he an addict? Is he a criminal? What's the problem?
No, he's not an addict or criminal, but he has a lot of health issues. When he was 14, he was in a serious accident and lost a hand. He actually died in the accident, and Jesus gave him his life back.
Is he not able to work now then?
He does work. He has a hard time getting a job because of his missing his hand. But my problem is, he raged for 9 years after he got back. He's not raging anymore. I've told him he had to move out 6 or 7 times. A couple times he left and said he was moving out. But he came back because his mom, please, can I have another chance because I have nowhere to go? And because of my granddaughter, if it was just him, I would say go. But because of my granddaughter,
well, she can live with you.
Now he is not raging anymore. But what he does now is order me around that. He has done a lot of destruction to my home. He has allowed his daughter, without correcting her, to do destruction. My leather furniture is all tore up because she...
I need to jump in, Barbara, just in the sake of time, and I'm so sorry that you're going through this. This is horrible. So look, and I've had this conversation with other callers, and they tend to get upset with me, because I get emails afterwards like, well, I don't think it's charitable to throw my son out. I'm not suggesting you throw your son out or your granddaughter out, okay? So I'm just going to say
advance. I do want to say ahead of time, because you started to say this as she was kind of filling us in on this horrible situation. Her son left her granddaughter for a year with her. So they are two separate people, and it doesn't have to necessarily affect your granddaughter if you have to draw any kind of boundary.
Yeah, so let's start with the umbrella principle and then kind of work with applying it to both your son and your granddaughter. Okay, so the umbrella principle is that whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we do, it has to be ordered to trying to bring out the best in the other person. We can't guarantee we'll be successful. Okay? We can't guarantee that what I do is going to work. But the intention has to at least be to order whatever I say or do to help you be your best self.
the person that you're talking to. So in your case, your son.
And at the very least, that means that whatever I say or do is going to be ordered to not enabling you to be your worst. Okay? Because that's what love is. To love somebody means working for their good, their ultimate good. Not just going along to get along or going along to try to avoid conflict or doing what I have to feel like I do to, because I feel bad otherwise. Pope Benedict, in the document Deus Caritas Est, God is Love, talks about the difference between sentiment and love. Okay? Christian love is working for the ultimate good of another person, even when it's hard, even when it feels bad, even when they don't like it. Sentiment is doing what I feel like I have to do because I feel bad doing anything else. Right? And when we give into sentiment, that's sort of Satan's plagiarism of love. We don't work for the good of another person, we become part of the problem. And that's kind of what's happening here.
And often we see this pattern in a time where the other person, our child, our spouse, whoever that is, our sibling, has gone through a really difficult time. And we go into that caretaking persona of, in your case, oh my gosh, my son died and came back. He lost a limb. Life is so hard for him. He's got this recovery to go through. And we get stuck there. And we end up, for lack of a better word, babying them too long. And they learn that if they just push those buttons, they can get us to back down on just about anything.
And I want to, you know, it's of course you feel compassion for your son, right? Of course you love him. Of course you don't want him to suffer, okay? And of course, having this disability is a tragic thing. This accident that he had, the way it's affected his life, it's all terrible. But I also know, because of, you know, in a past life, I worked in home health. I don't mean literal past life. But anyway,
a long time ago.
In a galaxy far away, I worked in home health. And I worked with a lot of people who had very serious disabilities. And the people, honestly, though, who were successful despite those disabilities were the people who had self-control and kindness and were relationally savvy. The thing that's holding your son back isn't just his disability. It's his attitude and it's his lack of character. And you're enabling that anytime you allow him to treat you the way he's treating you. So to love him, to really love your son means saying to him, look, you are welcome to stay here. My granddaughter is welcome to stay here as long as we can work together and bring out the best in each other and build a real loving home together. And if you can do that with me, you are welcome to be here. And if you can't do that with me, then you are welcome to go. My granddaughter can stay. If she wants to, she's 14, or she can go with you if she'd prefer. But anybody who wants to live here has to commit to working with each other to build a loving, peaceful, respectful home. And if you're not able to do that, you can't be here. Now, he goes, and then he comes back and says, but Mom, give me another chance. I feel bad. I have no place. Son, I love you, and I'm afraid that unless you can tell me what you've done in the meantime to learn some skills, to be a healthier person, to be a more respectful person, to get your stuff together, then I can't let you come home because then living with me becomes a near occasion of sin for you. And what do I mean by that? Well, as Catholics, we don't just avoid sin, we avoid near occasions of sin, right? That means that, like, for example, if I'm an alcoholic, I don't just avoid alcohol, I don't walk into the bar because I don't want to be tempted. So if my being around you brings out the worst in you, and my attempts to address that aren't working, I become an occasion of sin for you. And the most loving thing I can do is step back from that relationship in some way. Doesn't mean I need to cut you off. It just means I have to cut it back to the point where I'm no longer that near occasion of sin for you. So the upshot here is, Barbara, is I'm not telling you to throw him out. I'm telling you to love him by saying, look, if you want to be here, then that means taking care of this home, working with me to create a loving home, being respectful to each other, and really figuring out what it takes to have this loving, godly home. And if you can't do that, then you can't be here. And that is the loving thing to do. And if, as far as your granddaughter is concerned, if she would like to stay with you and contribute to that household and let him go, then she can do that, or she can go with him. But those are the options. That's the only way to love your son and your granddaughter. Otherwise, you're leading them into destruction by enabling them in their destructive and unhealthy behavior.
And I want to hit that one mark again where, you know, Barbara, I get it. You've been through this a million times, and he comes back, and he begs for another chance. So I want to hit again what Greg is saying here. When he does that, because he's proven that he will, you say, show me what you've done to be able to get the skills you need to be here and create the kind of home I'm talking about and be respectful and help do the things that will create not only an emotional and spiritual warm environment, but also get this house under control with me.
Is he going to anger management? Is he getting counseling? Is he getting some kind of support to help him?
Job training. Something that makes you know without a doubt that he's taken steps to become his best self.
Whatever that looks like, that's what tells you whether he can come back or not. Not how badly you feel for him. We talk more about this in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. And Barbara, if you need more personalized support and really finding faithful ways to respond to this challenge that are loving and open to your son and to your granddaughter, but don't lead them into temptation by behaving, bringing out the worst in them, or setting yourself up to be victimized in this situation, then reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We're happy to help. With that, we're taking your questions on our show titled Hide and Seek. We're talking about those times when it's just hard to say what we need to say because of the reactions we're going to get from the people in our life. You know, whether that's sharing our faith and getting shut down, or expressing a need or a feeling or an opinion and getting shot down. The truth is, you know, we feel vulnerable when we open up to others. And to be that vulnerable with somebody only to get the eye roll or the
contemptuous sound, yeah, any kind of contempt, any kind of suppression of who we are, what our needs are, what our opinions are.
That damages the communion that God calls us to live in as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so if you're struggling with that exact dynamic, then give us a call. Let us help you through it in grace-filled ways. 877-573-7825. So we head out to our break. It's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15.
Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ.
So what St. Paul is saying here is that even though it's hard to speak the truth in love, I mean, it's hard to speak the truth, and it's hard to be loving, and it's extra hard to speak the truth in a loving way, right?
Yeah.
But the process of learning how to do that work is how we become like Christ, which is the prime directive for every Christian. You know, that is our mission, to become like Christ. How we do that, St. Paul says in Ephesians 4:15, is by learning to speak the truth in love, doing both at the same time. Love and responsibility, as St. John Paul explained.
And again, to be like Christ, remember, that person doesn't have to agree with you. That person doesn't have to just become your successful project, because no person should be treated like a project, they're a person. We treat them as Christ did, we speak the truth in love, and we realize that there are zillions of people over world history who have had the truth spoken to them in love, and yet God gives them the free will to walk away. So it's not about whether you're successful, it's about whether you have actually spoken the truth in love and thereby allowed your own heart and mind to be converted more and more to be like Christ.
All right, with that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls on our show titled Hide and Seek, as we talk about overcoming that temptation to just shut down when other people roll their eyes or shame us or tell us that they don't want to hear what we're having to say. How do we push past that in a way that's still charitable, but prevents us from being a doormat? 877-573-7825. More to Life continues after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next. The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, Hide and Seek. We're talking about those times when we tend to hide our thoughts, our feelings, our needs, because we're afraid of the reaction we're going to get from the people around us. How do we push through that resistance in ways that are still compassionate, charitable, graceful? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now to Joe, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hey, Joe. Welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Hi. I'm a father of seven children, and my daughter is she constantly battles me because of the internet, the phone, and I have my own rules in the house. She's 16 years old, and she constantly tries to make me look bad in front of the other kids. I have to reprimand her. She gets emotional, and she's a great actress when it comes to playing the victim, and even to the point to where my wife is, I feel like I'm all alone half the time when it comes to her. And we got in a big argument after church yesterday. I had a great faith-filled Mass, received Holy Communion, did confession before. I went to Mass. It was beautiful. We're having family coming over. And I go down to the basement of the church to get a little bit of food because it's open to, you know, the people of the parish, you know, to bring some chips and stuff. We have an hour and a half drive to Mass every day. And she's like, see, those people are pointing at you because you're bringing food in. And it's like, and then making me just look bad, and it started.
Who's she?
Between her and
is this
I.
Your daughter or your wife?
My
I'm
daughter.
Sorry, because you talked
my
to both.
Daughter.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, my wife is like, she doesn't. It's like my daughter plays the victim so well. It's like now my wife is like on her side, and it's like I feel like I'm all alone half the time when I'm trying to enforce these rules that I know are protecting my children when it comes to Instagram.
Okay, let me ask you this question here, Joe. You're saying you're all alone. Have you, and I want you to be really think about it a minute and be honest, have you and your wife sat down, probably many times over the course of having seven children, and come up with the rules and standards and behaviors that your family should live by, or are you just kind of saying, well, it should be this way, it should be that way, and kind of bringing things up in the moment, and that's why your daughter's like, okay, my your daughter's mad, your wife is reacting because your daughter's upset, because there isn't a standard that the two of you hold together?
Yep. I would sit down with my wife without the children, and especially when it comes to the girls, get her perspective on what we should do in the situation. Can we agree to enforce this rule as far as the internet or wherever it is? I do love my wife's attention because she's my better half, and she understands things a little bit better than I do when it comes to the girls, especially what they go through, their feminine stuff that happens. And
just in the interest of time, Joe, I get all that. But so tell me, how often do you have those conversations?
As much as possible.
How often? Are we talking about weekly, monthly, once a quarter?
Or just when somebody's
weekly,
upset?
Weekly, probably at least. Yeah, weekly okay. at least.
And last question, then I gotta jump in. How often do you guys pray together about all this stuff, you and your wife?
We say the rosary together as a family. Me and her need to pray more together, and I'm lacking there for sure, 100%.
Well, it's good to be praying the rosary. Make sure that the intention of that rosary, whether you pray it as a family or as a couple, is that God would teach you how to be the family that He's asking you to be. And as you reflect on the mysteries, really reflect on your family life in light of those mysteries and what God is calling you to in terms of the way you relate to each other. Because it's not about just saying the prayers to God. It's about how do we bring our life to God and ask Him to teach us how to love each other the way He wants us to. Which is why I'm asking you to pray with your wife every day and have the conversation every day about, hey, what do we need to do to be more of the family that God's calling us to be? And then the second thing that I want you to do, though, practically speaking with your daughter, you know, when it comes to being Catholic parenting, a lot of times we kind of boil it all down to just holding the rules, telling the kids you can't do this or you can do that. Our goal as Catholic parents is to disciple our children into Christian adulthood, which means teaching them how to engage the world in healthy, godly ways. So it's okay to say to somebody, hey, look, you're not mature enough to handle this responsibility as a Christian person would. But if you just stop it there, what they hear is, and I never want to teach you how to be that Christian adult that God's calling you to be. So the rebellion that we get isn't a rejection of the rules. It's their defensiveness that comes from, but you're not teaching me how to be a godly grown-up. You're just telling me what I can't do. So the goal here, Joe, your heart's in the right place, okay? But the reason you're feeling isolated is because you're not addressing the question that's on the table, which is, how can I learn to do this thing in a healthy, godly way? So whether that's social media or media in general or relationships or privileges, yes, we have to make the determination, is this child mature enough to handle this responsibility as a godly Christian person would? But if they're not, then it comes to us to say, well, you know, it would be good for you to be able to handle that thing as a healthy Christian person. Let's talk about what it would take for you to get to that place. What are the virtues that I need to see? What are the habits that I need to see you cultivating? What are the, what's the attitude that I need to see you having toward that thing? And how can I help you get there? Because as Christian parents, we're disciplers, right? We're discipling our children into a Christian adulthood. We're not wardens of the family jail. And so what the input you're getting from your daughter is that unintentionally you're coming across to her as if you're the jailer, right? You're not the head disciple in the family who's discipling the other kids on how to do these things in healthy, godly ways. You're just saying, no, don't go there. Again, it's coming from an honestly good place, right? And I applaud you for being a strong, godly, faithful man who's really trying to stand up for Christian values in your home. It's just a matter of how do you do that in a way that actually teaches the kids to access these things in healthy, godly ways. And if you don't know, then you go get help. You know, there are books to read, there are shows to call, you know,
which you're doing
resources
right
to turn to. But that's the mission. It's not just do you as a parent say you can do this or you can't do this. It's let's come up with a plan by which I can show you how to do this in a healthy, godly way.
The other thing that you need to understand is that it's okay to draw out her best self from her by setting some standards, which she probably follows in other parts of life. So she would probably never talk down to her teacher, your pastor, the bishop if he came over for dinner. She probably has the social skills to know how to speak respectfully to somebody, how not to call somebody out, even if you think that, you know, their behavior is wrong in some way, just because it rubs you the wrong way. You need to be able to say to her, look, honey, I'm always willing to listen to what you have to say, but I expect you to use the same skills with me, in fact, better skills because I'm your father, than you do with your teacher or the priest or a friend you truly respect. The way you speak to someone you have respect for out in the world should be as good as, in fact, better in our home.
And if she's not doing that, though, what you have to hold the lines. Like, I'm happy to hear whatever it is that you have to say to me, as long as you can speak to me respectfully. If you can't do that, take a break, calm down, come back and find me, and we can talk then. But I'm not doing this. And then you hold that line. You don't engage her while she's speaking to you disrespectfully. It's, honey, I love you, and I want to hear whatever it is that you have to say. And I promise, going back to my previous point, I will work with you to figure out a healthy, godly way for you to get everything you need. I'm not going to do it like this. If we can speak respectfully, great. If not, go take some time, cool down, then we'll talk about it. But we're not doing this. And you do the broken record technique at that point. You just keep repeating that, until she gets the message. But there's no fight to be had. You're trying too hard to convince her to respect your authority as opposed to just asserting your authority. So you can do that compassionately without shutting things down by saying, this is how we can talk about it, and this is what we're going to talk about, as long as you can get to this place where we can manage it respectfully. So those are a couple of things. Number one, talking and praying with your wife every day about the kind of family that God's calling you to lead and what he's asking each of you to do to live that life. Secondly, approaching discipline not so much as a list of rules that you have to enforce, but as a program for helping your kids truly engage the things they're wanting to engage in healthy and godly ways. And thirdly, not tolerating the disrespect by engaging with it, but rather saying, I'm willing to hear what you have to say, as long as we can talk about it respectfully. If not, go calm down, then we'll have that discussion. Right? We talk about how to do all of this and more on Catholic Home, which is an app that provides parent coaching and tons of creative resources. That's Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. Download the app today. Joe, and anybody else who's listening who wants that parenting support, check it out, Catholic H-O-M. Of course, we are taking your questions at CatholicCounselors.com as well to help you live a more faithful and abundant marriage, family, and personal life. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, with God's grace, there is always so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.